says that you should eat a kezias of karpas, and the Rambam also holds that everyone should dip and eat a kezias of karpas, because it's not just to provoke the curiosity of the children, it's also to fulfill a mitzvah of achila, a mitzvah of eating. And that's why, says the Rav, one minute, the Rambam Shita is that you dip the karpas into charoses, as opposed to the opinion of Tosfos and Rashi that say you dip it into salt water or vinegar. But the Rambam says you dip it into charoses. So he says that the Rambam is following his own logic, because the Rambam also holds a chiddush, which we don't do, that you dip the matzah into charoses. So what's the explanation? Why does the Rambam say you dip the matzah into charoses? We understand you dip the maror into charoses. The Gemara says it's to remember the bricks. Right? The charoses symbolizes the bricks that they made. But why do we dip the matzah into charoses? So apparently, says Rav Soloveitchik, according to the Rambam, there's a halacha of a mitzvah sachila of the laila. Anything where there's a mitzvah to eat on this night, you eat it together with charoses. It's a halacha that things which we have a mitzvah to eat on this night, you eat it together with charoses. So that's why the Rambam Shita is that you dip the karpas in the charoses, because it's a mitzvah achilas karpas, as we see from the fact that we hold that he says you should eat the kezayis. And matzah also, you dip it into charoses according to the Rambam, and the whole svara that the Gemara says, Kadesh Yishlu Atinokos, is only the reason why the Rabbanan made this mitzvah. But once they established it, they made it as a mitzvah achila. That's the opinion of the Rambam. As opposed to Tosfos and Rashi, which is how we paskin, that this is just something that we do to provoke the children's curiosity. So it doesn't need to have a full shir achila. In fact, the poskim say that one should not eat a kezayis, because if you eat a kezayis, karpas, then you'll have a problem with the bracha achrona. You're going to have to make now a bracha achrona, which is not part of the Seder, to make a bracha achrona on the karpas, and therefore you should eat less. That's what most poskim saying, that's the common practice. But the Rambam Shita, though, the Rambam Shita, and this is also the opinion of the Gra, is that you should eat a kezayis of karpas, and in terms of the bracha achrona, so the Rambam holds that it's going to be covered by the birchas hamazon that you bench later. It's going to be covered with the birchas hamazon. I think that's what they explained for the Gra and the Rambam. But some people have this practice of following the Rambam and eating kezayis. Most people don't. Most people eat less than kezayis. Okay, eight times in Germany, yeah.
Does that mean the Rambam would eat
charoset
multiple times a year? Is that something one time we have in
the Mitzvah? That's a good question. Rambam holds that it's not a din in general whenever there's a mitzachilah. The Rambam holds on the night of the Seder, since the charoset represents the memory of the bondage, of recalling the bricks that we were the harsh labor. So the takana was that you should eat all the things that there's a mitzvah sachila with charoses. What would be a nafkamina? There's a nafkamina that the propos can bring down. Do you need to eat karpas beheseba? Should you eat the karpas while you're reclining or not? So you need to eat it reclining, or you don't need to eat it reclining. So that depends maybe on this machlokas between the Rambam against Rashi. If it's a mitzachila, very good, like, then you should eat it with a seba. But if it's just a din of doing something strange, unusual, to provoke the children's curiosity, then you would not need a seba. In the Exalted Evening Agada, Soloveitchik adds the following. He says that we see from the mitzvah of karpas, as we mentioned earlier, Rav says that every single step that we do the night of the Seder, it integrates into a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we see here a chiddush, that not only do we tell the story of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim through speech, by discussing and describing the story of going down to Egypt, becoming slaves, and all the suffering that we endured in Egypt, and how we were redeemed. We don't, not only do we fulfill Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim with our speech, we fulfill Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim as well through action. Through action, by eating the karpas and dipping it into salt water in order to provoke the children to ask a question, why are we doing this? And then engage them in the story of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says, we see from here 2 points. Point number one is that the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim we fulfill on the night of the Seder, not only through speech, through our discussions, but also through our actions, through eating karpas, through eating matzah, through eating maror. We fulfill the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. And as well, we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we saw in the Rambam, by telling the story to our children. So a big part of the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is to engage the children in the story. The mitzvah is not just to tell a story, but you have to engage the audience. You have to make sure that everyone is involved in the story of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The children, everyone. So that's why this halacha of eating karpas, which is to its function and part of the story of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that this is a tool that we use to be able to engage the children in discussion and provoke their curiosity and explain to them that we're doing different things tonight to remember slavery and to remember freedom. Yachatz. Okay, now we're up to the next step in the Seder, which is Yachatz, which is you take the middle matzah and you split it into two. And the larger portion you keep for later on to eat for Afikoman. So the Rav here in the Siach HaGril HaGadol in Os Zayin, he points out that this custom that we have of breaking the middle matzah of Yachatz, it's on page Yud Zayin, Eitan.
When is it?
Okay, in the Os Zayin. He says that this custom of breaking the middle matzah is not mentioned in the Gemara. Then the source of it, he says, is from the Kolbo. It's one of the Rishonim, is quoted by the Beis Yosef, who says that the reason that we break the matzah in half is because in the beginning of Magid, we're going to recite the passage of Holach Ma'anya. We're going to talk about the matzah and describe it as being poor man's bread, that a poor man who is very poor, doesn't have enough money to afford bread, and he also doesn't have enough money to afford even a full slice of bread. He only has a half a slice of bread, a prusa, a piece of bread. So that's why, says the Kolbo, we break the matzah in order that when we say the Holach Ma'anya, which we're about to say, we should be describing the matzah that's in front of us. This is poor man's bread. And you have in front of you a half piece of matzah like a poor person would eat. That's the pshat that he quotes in the name of the Kolbo. But he brings down that the Rambam says no. The Rambam says the Rav holds that when do we do yachatz? He says the Rambam shita is that you do yachatz, you break the matzah after Magid, after you say the Magid, after the Agada, before you make a motzi. So what's the explanation, if Salvechik wants to understand, what's the explanation of that machloikis between the Rambam and the minhag of the Kolbo in terms of when do you break the matzah? Do you break the matzah before the Magid? Or do you break it only at the end? And before the Hamotzi. So the Rav says that according to the Rambam holds that you have to break the matzah as part of making the Hamotzi. As part of making the Hamotzi, there's a din of breaking the matzah, that it should be lechem oni. When you make Hamotzi, you should make Hamotzi on lechem oni. On poor man's bread. It's a din in the Hamotzi, the night of the Seder. And therefore, the Rambam says that you make the Yachatz later, because if you were make the yachatz beforehand, then he thinks that the saying of the Haggadah itself would be a hefsek. So that's why he says that the shita of the Rambam is to do the yachatz later. Whereas according to the opinion of the Kolbo, he says the Kolbo holds that you have to break the matzah beforehand because the Haggadah, the Magid, is supposed to be recited on a broken matzah. That's what he explains. Now, I have here in my notes that a few points about breaking the matzah. So one is that the Chassam Sofer points out that we break the matzah into two parts, and we save the larger portion of the matzah for Afikoman. The larger portion of the matzah represents the Geula Ha'asida, the future redemption. And the symbolism is to show that the future redemption is going to supersede the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's why it's represented by a larger piece of matzah. Now, also have in my notes the following, that in the Sefer, in the Haggadah of the Shem Shmuel, so the Shem Shmuel was the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, Shmuel Bornstein, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, and his son, his name was Rav David Bornstein. No, the Sachet Shavu, Hashem Shmuel, the son of the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, his name was Rav David Bornstein. He was the grandson of the Avnei Nezer, and he was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto during World War II. But somehow the manuscript of his Haggadah, they managed to smuggle out, and it's published together in the Shem Shmuel Haggadah. So he says the following. He says that the symbolism of splitting the matzah into two parts is that every single Jew, the matzah, he says, represents like a Jew. And every Jew has two dimensions, so to speak. He has an external dimension and an internal essence. And he says the core essence of a Jew, the Chassidish Svarim teach us, is pure and cannot be tainted or affected by sin. We actually mentioned this idea in terms of Purim the other day. It's really Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas says, Ritzoneinu lasis ritzoincha, that really a Jew's desire is to do the desire of Hashem. But what prevents us, and the reason we sin at times, is due to external factors. It's due to the Yetzer Hara. It's due to the influence of being in exile. So says the Shem Shmuel's son, David Bornstein. His commentary is called Chasdei David. He says that the first piece of matzah, that represents the external aspect which could be affected by sin, the external pressures of galus. But there's always in every Jew an internal point which is pure and holy, which cannot be affected by sin, and that's represented by the Afikoman. Why is that represented by the Afikoman? Because we know what is the Afikoman called in the night of the Seder, in the order of the Seder. Which part of the Seder represents Afikoman? Excellent, Sofen. Sofen means hidden, right? Because you hide the Afikoman. You're supposed to hide it. It has to be kept, you know, in a safe place. You hide the Afikoman. So Tzofon means hidden, which represents the Afikoman. It represents the hidden part of every Jew. That the hidden part of every single Jew is pure and holy. It cannot be affected by any Avera. Because the Averas that Jews do are all because of external factors. Like the Gemara Bracha says. It's either due to the Yetzer Hara, which is external. It's not a real reflection of our true essence, or because of the influence of Galus, of the exile. So that's why the Afikoman is the bigger piece of matzah, because it represents the real essence of every Yid. The real essence of every Yid is that he's tar and he's holy, cannot be affected by any Averis. That's the pshat of the Chasdei David in terms of the symbolism of the yachatz, of breaking the matzah into two halves. One other pshat that I want to mention in terms of breaking the matzah in two halves that I say very often at my Seder, which is that we know three matzahs. Why do we break the middle matzah? The three matzahs represent Kayin, Levi, and Yisrael. So why do we break the middle matzah? So in the Tal Yoris HaGadah, he explains the following, that if you go back to Parashas Lech Lecha, when it says the Bris Ben Absarim, when Hashem made the Bris Ben Absarim at Avraham Avinu, and he prophesied to Avraham Avinu, he foretold him that your children are going to go down to a strange land and be slaves. So it says in the Pasuk, Yodaya Teda, you should know, Ki Geri Yezaracha Be'eretz Leilahem, your descendants are going to be foreigners in a strange land. Va'avodum ve'inu oisam arame yeshana, and they'll be subjugated into slavery for 400 years. So there were two components, really, to the decree of Golos. One was just the mere fact that they were going to be in Golos. Ger yezaracha be'eretz leilahem, they'll be in a strange land, they'll be exiled from their land. And the second, the three matzahs are Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. So the middle matzah, which we break, represents Shevet Levi. So why do we break Dafka, the middle matzah? So in the Talei Eres Agada, they explain, he brings it down, I don't remember from whom, but Talei Eres Agada says, the pshat is, because Shevet Levi, we know, were his never slaves in Mitzrayim. That was one of the things that Yosef, when he was viceroy of Egypt, he may pass the law that if you're a priest or you're, clergy, so you don't have to work as slaves for the king. And that remained on the books. The tribe of Levi, they never became slaves. So which aspect of the gzeira of the Bris Ben Absarim did apply, though, to Shevet Levi? The fact that they were in exile, that they were not in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't in their homeland. They were in a strange land. They were living in Egypt. But the component of the gzeira of slavery, that did not apply to them. So they only had, so to speak, half of the trouble of exile. They were exiled. They were displaced. But they were not enslaved. So says the Talei Eres Agadah, maybe he quotes this from the Chassam Sofer, I forgot from whom, that's the reason why we break the middle matzah dafka in half, because the middle, by breaking it in half, we're showing that we're like slaves, that we have only a half a piece of bread, like a slave, but that's only something which the other Shvatim had. The middle matzah didn't have that. The Shevet Levi didn't have, they only had the chelik of Golos, of being in Golos, not of the actual slavery. Okay, now we'll just start a little bit the Magid. So we're up to Hol Achmani. Yes, go ahead.
How did, let's say, you just pick up a copy of the Rambam's Agada?
Yeah. Totally, well, yeah, the Rambam's Agada is in the back. Does anyone follow the Rambam? The Temanim, the Yemenites.
Yeah.
They follow all the Minhagim and the practice, the Psak of the Rambam, the Yemenites.
And who said the larger part represents the future Gula, but I'll supersede.
That's the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that the larger part of the matzah, that represents the future Gula Asida. And since it represents the future Gula Asida, so therefore, which is going to be greater, as the Gemara says in Brachas. Right, the Gemara in the end of the first parak discusses, are we going to mention Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim was a lavoi or not? We're going to say that the miracles
from Mashiach
are going to supersede and outshine those of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. So that's why we don't... that's the bigger portion of matzah. That's what he says, perhaps, that represents. Okay, now, in terms of Olach Ma'anya, so now we start the Magid. Magid, we say the following, Olach Ma'anya, we'll just conclude with one part over here. Olach Ma'anya, this is poor man's bread, right? You uncover the matzah, and you talk about the matzah. Olach Ma'anya, in Aramaic, we say, this is poor man's bread, the Acholu Avasana Ba'ar the Mitzrayim, which our forefathers ate in Egypt. Kol dichvin yesev yechol. Anyone who's hungry, Let him come and eat. Kol Ditzrich, anyone who is in need, Yesev Yivsach, who should come and join us with the Korban Pesach. Hashtahocha, now we're here, Lashon Haba, Barad Yisrael, next year we'll be in the land of Israel. Hashtah Avdei, now we're slaves. Lashon Haba, next year, Bnei Chayrin, we should be free people. So, the Rav, in the Siach HaGrid Agoda on page Yud Tes, in Os Ches, points out that the Rambam in his text of his Agoda, he added three words as an introduction to Holach Ma'anya. The Rambam in his Haggadah, he adds three words. And these are the words that the Rambam begins the Haggadah, the Magid, with. Bibihilu Yotzanu Mimitzrayim. Which means in a rush, in haste, we left Egypt. Holach Ma'anya. This is poor man's bread. So what is the Rambam adding by adding in that phrase into the Haggadah? And how does that connect to the rest of the passage of Holach Ma'anya? But Behilu means in a rush, in haste, in great haste. We left Egypt. And this is poor man's bread. So what is the Rambam exactly adding? So says the Rav the following, that we know that there's two aspects to the matzah. We see in Chazal, there's two aspects to matzah. Matzah is called lechem oni. It's called poor man's bread. It's bread which represents the slavery and the servitude, subjugation. He quotes Rashi in Dvarim, that on the Pasuk Lechem Oni, Rashi says, Lechem Shemazkir Es Haoni. It reminds us of the affliction, Shenisanu B'Mitzrayim, that we suffered in Egypt. But on the other hand, we know the Mishnah says in Psachim that Matzah represents also the Geula. Matzah represents the redemption. How does matzah represent the redemption? Because the Gemara says, why don't we say this in the Haggadah later? Why do we eat matzah? You have to talk about why you eat Pesach matzah maror. And what does he say? Why we eat matzah? So it says in the Haggadah at the end of the Magid, because there wasn't enough time for the dough to rise. They left Egypt in such a hurry, they grabbed some dough, and they left, and it baked on their backs. It had no time to even rise. They didn't have time to wait for the dough to rise. They left in a rush. So matzah represents, we see, says the Rav, from the Rishonim, from the Gemara, that matzah has two aspects to it. Matzah, on the one hand, represents the galus. It represents the exile, the slavery. It's called lechem oni, poor person's bread, bread of suffering, bread of affliction. And on the other hand, matzah also represents the geula. It represents the redemption, that we left in such a great, and God took us out in such great haste that there wasn't even time for the dough to rise. So that's what he says is the pshat, why the Rambam added that phrase here to the introduction of the Haggadah, where we start talking about the matzah. The Rambam says, "B'behilu yotzanu mimitzrayim, in a rush we left Egypt, holach ma'anya." The Rambam is alluding to the fact that there are these two aspects to matzah. There's one aspect of matzah, that matzah reminds us of the geula, of the redemption. The other hand, matzah also reminds us of the slavery, and part of the mitzvah of Sipritzias Mitzrayim is you have to talk about both aspects. We have to talk about the aspect of slavery, we have to talk about the aspect of redemption, and talk about how the matzah reminds us of both, and how actually it has both aspects to it. That's why the Rambam had this text in his Haggadah. That's what the Rav says here in the Siach HaGrid Haggadah. There's another very interesting pshat on this little passage, I'll just point out from the Rav, it's also here in the Siach HaGrid Haggadah on page Yud Tes, Oz Tes. So the Rav says, you can check it off that we did it. Kol Dichven Yesev Yechol, in Oz Tes. You see it there, Eitan, left hand column?
Yeah.
Okay, so we make a statement here. Anyone who's hungry, let him come and eat. Anyone who needs a Korban Pesach, let him come and join in on the Pesach. So the question the Rav asks is, why do we begin the Haggadah with this statement, and it seems to be a little bit of a late invitation. Anyone who's hungry should come and eat. You're already home from shul, you're sitting around the table, you made kiddush already. I don't mean anyone who's hungry should come and join us. It's too late. Everyone by now is already at their Seder. What kind of an invitation is this? So says the Rav, the Pshat is the following. He says that, and in general he says, the halacha of inviting guests. The Gemara says every Yom Tov you're supposed to invite guests. The Rambam says if you don't share Simchas Yom Tov with guests, so it's not real Simchas Yom Tov, it's just Simcha for yourself, for your own stomach. He calls it Simchas Kreisoi. It's not Simcha for the death, for the Yom Tov, Simcha of the Mitzvah. So why over here are we inviting guests after here on Pesach by the beginning of the meal? So says the Rav, the answer is the following. The Gemara says in Pesachim that Mashe Kana Eved Kana Rabbi, that a slave doesn't own anything. Whatever he owns belongs to his master. He doesn't have any material possessions. And therefore, he says, the idea is that it's not an actual invitation that we're expecting anyone to take us up on. But this is part of showing how we are experiencing our freedom. How are we experiencing our freedom? We're experiencing that we're free and demonstrating that we're free by the fact that we're offering an invitation. Not that we expect anyone to actually take us up on it right now, because it's too late. We're at the Seder, we're ready to make Kiddush, but we're showing that we're free, because a slave can't invite anyone to his house to eat. He doesn't have his own house. Everything that he has belongs to his master. He's not capable of inviting guests. So the fact that we invite guests, that's a way of demonstrating that we're free, which the Rambam says is part of the mitzvah of the night of the Seder, is to show that we're b'nei chayrin, to show that now we're free. That's one answer that the Rav gives in the Siach Agrid Agadah. In the Exalted Evening Agadah, the Rav adds another explanation. He says the very fundamental idea. He says the following. He says that Pesach is a Yom Tov of Achdus. It's a Yom Tov of unity, of solidarity of all Jews. That even though in Mitzrayim not all Jews suffered in the same manner, like we just mentioned, Shevet Levi was not obligated to be slaves, and maybe some slaves worked harder than others, but the Jews in Egypt felt each other's pain. And the fact that they felt each other's pain, they were connected, they empathized with one another, that's what brought about the Geula. So he says, that's the pshat over here, this declaration. We say, Kol Dichvin, anyone who's hungry, so Yesev Yechol, should come and eat. Kol Ditzrich, anyone who's in need, Yesev Yifsach. What's the difference in the language between Kol Dichvin and Kol Ditzrich, anyone who's hungry versus anyone who's in need? So says the Rav, that Kol Dichvin means a person who's hungry, that refers to Jews that have physical needs. They have certain physical needs that they're lacking. Kol Ditzrich refers not to people who are necessarily lacking physically anything, but they're lacking emotionally. They're lonely. They're alone. They're disenfranchised. They're not connected. So the night of the Seder, we say, Holach Ma'anyo, we invite everyone to come join us at the Seder, all Jews of all different stripes, all different types, right? We're going to have in the Seder the Arba Banim, the four sons, because we show the night of the Seder that the Geula came about because of Achdus, because Klal Yisrael felt a sense of unity with one another. They felt a sense of empathy, of sharing the burden with each other. And that's what we say, Holach Ma'anyo, this is bread of affliction. He says, Holach Ma'anyo is a pledge of solidarity between the Jewish people. That's why we're inviting everyone in. It's not also an actual invitation, but it's to show that we have this sense of achrayus, the sense of solidarity, of responsibility towards each other. And he says, if you don't do that, then the Seder is not, it's in a way meaningless. You have to begin the Seder this way. What happened to Seder night? We became a nation. We were taken out of Egypt. We became a nation. Being a nation means that we have mutual responsibility for every single Jew. We have to worry about every single Jew and tend to every single Jew's needs, whether they be physical needs, whether they be emotional needs. And that's why the night of the Seder begins this idea, with this idea it begins that we invite everyone to come join us at the Seder. It says that later in Agada also, he says, Karban Pesach, the halachas has to be eaten in a chabura, it has to be eaten in a group. Why? Because Pesach represents freedom. Freedom can only be expressed by engaging in chesed, sharing with others. That's why we have this declaration to start with the Seder. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll stop here.
I'm not sure how to turn this off.
I heard from somewhere that that's like a